And we have one of the Carolina greats, one of the best point guards to ever play at the University of North Carolina, one of the best players to come out of the state of South Carolina. Yes. But more importantly, he's my little brother, man. And I'm very proud of what he's done with his life. And, you know, when he came to the University of North Carolina, he was a McDonald's All-American. I think 2002. Was it 2002? McDonald's All-American. He was also Naismith High School Player of the Year as well. Ladies and gentlemen, your 2005 national champion, Raymond Felton. Welcome, Ray. Welcome.
Appreciate it, big bro. Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I can't complain, man. Just trying to stay out of the way with all this havoc going on in the world.
Yeah, no question. Well, it's a pleasure, man, to have you here. You know, it's we're looking at 20 plus years now from man. The time that I first met you. But right. You know, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing, man. And now we get a chance to talk to you about your life and the things that you've experienced. And I know a lot of people celebrate Raymond Felton, especially at the University of North Carolina and what you've done. But let's get back into, you know, what made Raymond Felton go to the University of North Carolina?
Oh, man. Just a dream of always wanted to play in that Carolina blue and in those jerseys, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just a dream come true. And growing up from where I came from, you know, a population of maybe 1,500 to 2,000 people, I didn't really think it was possible. You know, then you get into AAU and you start going to play in different places. And I just got lucky and Coach Darty gave me the opportunity. He saw me play. He was actually there to see Jackie play and saw me on the other side and then just turned his chair around and just started watching me. And then it just like a dream came true. You know, he said, you're going to be Carolina's next point guard. And I was like, really? You know, and at that time, I might have been ranked like top 100 in the country at that time. Like, I was really not even known like that. So, you know, just to get that eye from a coach. And I appreciate Coach Darty to this day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still talk to him, still got love for him. You know, he gave me that opportunity. You know, he made a dream of mine come true. You know what I'm saying? And he came down to Loudoun, South Carolina and walked down all through my town with me too. So any coach who would do that to me, man, got respect for me for the rest of my life, for real.
No question. Well, it's interesting to say that, you know, you were you know, knowledgeable of the University of North Carolina, because me being from South Carolina, the upper state, I didn't even know who Coach Smith was when he came to see me. So it shows you that there's a lot of background in basketball that comes from your family. You know, I remember you coming on your visit and they asked me to come into his office, and I walked in and you were standing there, you, your dad, your mom was sitting there, and I was like, oh, that's him. That's the next one. And having that conversation and being like, hey, man, when you come here, man, you know, us being from South Carolina, you know, it's a little different. It's a little different for us because of our state and, you know, what people may think that we can and can't do from our state. And so, you know, that was, you know, it was really great to see you choose to come to the University of North Carolina. But, you know, what was placed on your shoulders was going to be even bigger in that regard. So, you know, once you came to the University of North Carolina, being a freshman and you stepped on campus, tell us how that was.
Oh man, it was overwhelming at first. I will say that, you know, being from where I'm from, small town, and coming into a big college like that, kids, like just people everywhere and, you know, people loving you, people, you know how it is when you're on the basketball team, like you're loved all through the campus from the professors to everybody, you know what I'm saying? Everybody just love you. And it was a little overwhelming at first, but you know, it was beautiful, you know, it was great. And I wouldn't change nothing. I wouldn't go to another school. Like, it was just amazing. You know, and then I had guys like you, you know what I'm saying? Guys like Twan and Vince and, you know, Stack and Sheed. Like, y'all guys came back and y'all made that process so much easier for us. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what a lot of the young guys miss now in these other colleges, that they don't have that family base like we got. Like, all y'all came back and y'all got at us. Y'all showed us the ropes. Y'all showed us love. Like, you know, I remember, you know, my sophomore year having a conversation with Coach Williams, and a lot of people might not even know this. I was going to go to the draft. Like, I was going to leave because me and Coach Williams was bumping heads a little bit, not in a negative way, but just bumping heads. He was just getting there. And, you know, like, I played the way I play, and I wanted that confidence from him. And once we had that conversation, like, it was just like, it was like night and day. Like, he came in that conversation. He told me, this is what you need to work on. This is what you need to do to get better. I told him, all I need from you is just give me that leeway. Give me that green light. Give me that confidence. And once he gave me that, I took care of everything else. That whole summer, I don't know if you remember, I wouldn't let nobody guard you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't let nobody guard you. I didn't care. And you killed me the whole summer, but I didn't care. I felt like I'm picking him up. I'm picking him up full court. I'm going to guard him every possession. I won't let nobody else guard you. I said, I'm guarding Shamont every game. I'm guarding Shamont. Like, I just – because, you know, he told me different things I needed to work on. He told me I needed to work on, you know, my defense. You know what I'm saying? I need to work on picking people up full court. I need to work on, you know, my outside jump shot. Me and you would get in the gym and get up threes and get up shots. Like, it was so many things that he told me I needed to work on, and I went for it, and I did it. And, like, I just, you know, and I have so much love and respect for Coach Williams of just believing in me and giving me that confidence and really looking me in my eyes as a young man and telling me, like, you're good, but you're not where you need to be. You're not where you're supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? It's not time for you to go to the NBA. It's not time for you to go to the draft. And, you know, me believing in him and listening to what he had to say, and then having guys like you, you know, who just grabbed me over his arm and that just, you know, helped me go into the right direction. You know what I'm saying? That stuff was big for me, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, having you and having Lavelle over there at Central, you know, Lavelle Bolton, having y'all two just kind of like just, you know what I'm saying, just grab me over your arms and like, come on, man, we got you. You know, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to show you the ropes. I'm going to show you the way. You know, that helped me out tremendously.
Yeah. It's funny that you brought that up because I do remember that. Like, I got Shamont. I was like, okay, all right. Yeah. But the one thing that I was really impressed with you was, you know, people didn't really – like. You know, when you're in North Carolina, you see a lot of talented basketball players come. They're talented. But talent, being blessed with talent is one thing. But being special is another thing. Mm-hmm. And I was impressed with how special I thought you were. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I knew you in high school a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you first stepped on campus and you began to play, and I was like, you know, I was like, you couldn't put your hand on it because it was a lot of things that you could do. Mm-hmm. And it made such an impact that, you know, it was like, for me, it was like, man, I got to play a little harder. This kid, you know what I mean? This kid here is something different. You know what I mean? Just something different about him. Mm-hmm. And the more I began to think about it, and I was running it through my head just a while ago as you were speaking, your talent, but with your special blessing, compiled with your infatuation with basketball. That right there, the infatuation mm-hmm. with basketball was totally different than everybody on that team. Right. And your team was talented. There's no question, some great basketball players. But your infatuation with the game, it was like, there could not be a game being played anywhere mm-hmm. on campus, be it Woodland, you hear about, we, you know, pros getting together, playing, put something together. Mm-hmm. You, I see, walking there with them shoes, it was like, man, he's infatuated with mm-hmm. this game. Yeah. And so you know, a lot of people work hard, a lot of people have talent, but what built your infatuation with the game like that?
Man, ever since I can remember, man, since 4 years old, like I was just, I had a basketball in my hand. I just love basketball. Like, mm-hmm. I love it. Like, and it's crazy when you have your offspring, you have your kids and they don't share that same drive. It's like, it gets frustrating, but then you have to realize like, they're not you, you know?
Right.
And they're not you. And it's like, I love to play basketball. I play basketball every day to this day right now, not playing for no team, still looking to stay in shape and make sure I'm ready to go if I get a phone call. But I still go play Monday through Saturday. Right. I'm 36 years old now. I'm going to the gym every day. I love to play basketball. That's all I know.
Right.
Like, that's all I know. Like, granted, you know, I'm starting to get into other things now because I know basketball is at the end for me. But at the same time, like, I play every day. I love the game of basketball. And I think that's one thing that drove me and one thing that I had that was different than everybody else. Like, I loved it. Like, it'd be times where it was like a hot party that's going to be going on, and I'm going to the Smith Center. Like, right. All right, y'all go ahead. I might catch y'all later. I might come in at the tail end of it, but I just left the gym for about 2 hours after getting some shots up and working out and doing what I got to do, and I might have showed up later. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes I probably didn't go at all. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't for me. And there was times I did go. I mean, I was a college student, so, yeah, I went to parties and stuff, but – my number one focus was basketball. And I love it to this day. And it was just, you know, I think what drove me is just watching my dad play too. You know, I know a lot of people say like, you know, their idol is Michael Jordan and, you know, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, whoever you want to say, you know, their idols are somebody else. My idol was him. My idol was my dad growing up. You know, my dad was a neighborhood Michael Jordan. You know, he was. Right. I see my daddy score 60, 70 points in games and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So he was the man back home. So, you know, I used to watch him and wanted to be like him and wanted to, you know, make him happy. You know what I'm saying? So that just drove me to just work every day. My daddy didn't have to tell me to come outside. I see a lot of kids now, their parents make them go to workouts, make them have trainers. My daddy didn't have to do that. I didn't have a trainer growing up. I had my daddy come outside and throw me the basketball and we worked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you've seen the story on the kid, John Morant. Like, that's how it was for me. Like, we going outside in the backyard, and my daddy took me through drills, through grass, and through dirt. It was no cement. It was no gym. Like, we put our work in the backyard.
Right. You know what
I mean? So it's a total different story, man. It's a total different upbringing that you don't see now. And I think that's being missed, just that dog, just that hungriness, you know, these kids now is just, I don't know, it's like everything is kind of given to them, which is okay because I know time changes, but you can't take away that grind from the game, man. I think it's disrespectful to the game. You know, you got to put in that grind. You got to put in that work, man. It got to be hard at some point. If it ain't hard, then it don't feel right. It just don't feel right.
Right. Well, it's interesting, the things that you said about, you know, going to the gym before the parties and so on and so forth. That may have been something that's just in our sock blood, because that was what I was doing as well. Yeah. You know, maybe because, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe because coming from South Carolina, we didn't garner the respect that many other states garnered. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and you look at you, I mean, you were the, you know, you were best player in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, you were the Naismith High School Player of the Year in the United States. And so, to have that mentality is something in itself, you know, that says a lot about you and your upbringing, because, you know, I can identify with that. And that's one thing I really liked about you. You know, I really liked when I said, hey, man, you know, he's built of the same cloth that I am. He just better. You know, he's just better than I was. So, and so going into your junior year, Ray, you know, you guys had, you know, gotten better progressively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had the coaching change, and then you're going into that junior year. And, you know, I remember that summer, you know, all of you guys and having, you know, and spending a lot of time with you guys. And, you know, we going up to Greensboro.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. eating at the Waffle House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
having some people walk up on us.
Uh-huh.
Almost found themselves in trouble back then
in the old days. Yeah. Yes, sir.
going into your junior year, man, what was your thought process for that team and what you wanted for yourself?
For myself, there was no reason for us not to win it all. You know, there was no reason for us not to be one of the premier teams in college basketball. Like, all the talent we had with the young guys like Marvin and Quentin coming in, and, you know, me, Sean, Marv, Jawad, Rashad, like David, you know, Jackie, Melvin, like the list goes on, the guys that I can name, that we was just too talented not to be one of those teams who was feared in college basketball. Like, you know, we had everything. We had everything. And my biggest thing was, if we didn't win it, if we didn't accomplish the things we didn't accomplish, then I didn't do my job. I didn't do my job as the leader of that team, as the point guard of that, you know what I'm saying, as the general. Like, I didn't do my job, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like, I took it upon myself each and every night as the point guard to make sure we win games. Rather, I had to come out and have 19 assists, rather I had to come out and go guard one of their best players and make sure he don't be a factor, or rather I had to come out and have a scoring night. Whatever it was we needed, I made sure I picked it up for our team, you know, each and every night that we played. And sometimes it didn't go our way, you know, but we still had a pretty good record that year. I think we might have been like 33-4 or something like that, mm-hmm. or whatever. So we had a great year, man, and we topped it off with a national championship. So, you know, I think that's just us going through the growing pains of not making a tournament our freshman year, sophomore year, getting beat by Texas, and then coming out that our junior year with everybody being healthy, everybody being on the same agenda, the same goal, and then going forward and accomplishing it. And then I think it just made it that much more sweeter.
Right. Well, what would you say was the toughest thing about that season? What you feel like was the toughest thing that you had to deal with? Because when you're the leader of a team and you have so many talented guys, man, that's mm-hmm. there's a lot of personalities that you have to deal with. just the grind of it.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me was at that point, as a junior, I already knew everybody. I already knew where everybody was going to be at, where everybody wanted the ball at, you know, how to get them the ball, what plays to call to get them the ball if they haven't had touches. Like, I had already had that in sync after being with those guys for 2 years. So that kind of helped me out. And then for them to give me the respect and the ownership of being the leader and trusting me, that also helped too. You know what I'm saying? They didn't care if I got on them. They didn't care if I said this to them. Like, they took it because they knew where it came from and they knew what I was going to do on my end. You know, right. If you're going to be a leader, you got to lead by example too. So they knew I was going to play hard. I was going to give everything I got. You know, I was going to play the right way. So it wasn't nothing for me to say anything to them and them to listen and for them to take it in the right direction. And I think that was the biggest thing with our team. Nobody took nothing in a bad way. Even Rashad, I can say that about him. You know, he respected me enough to, like, if I got on him, he listened to what I had to say. He listened to me. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was just the biggest thing with our team right there. That was the biggest thing.
Now, winning that national championship, man, winning that game, you know, take me through, you know, how it felt once that buzzer went off and there were no more minutes to play in that game and you guys had won. How did that feel? I never got a chance. I've been to the Final Four a few times.
Right.
I've never had that opportunity. So take me through that.
Man, it's like it's like an out-of-body experience, man. Like, I can't even give you one word to explain how that felt. And it's something that's going to stay with me for the rest of my life, just knowing what we went through and knowing what it took for us to get to that point. And just for us to win that game, man, and have that feeling, it's a blessing. And then two, it was just great, man. Looking at my parents over there, just like my mama was crying, and you know, my daddy being happy and being proud, and you know what I'm saying? Like looking at my teammates and like everybody just excited and just, you know, it was just a wonderful feeling seeing those Carolina fans who's follow us all the way through this tournament, you know, seeing them excited and happy. And it was just a beautiful thing, man. It was wonderful, man. It was great. And just, you know, and then winning the Bob Cousy Award, winning the Point Guard of the Year Award, all that stuff just, it kind of hit me later that night. It didn't hit me at that moment because I was just into the moment. You know, we went out after that, had a good time. And I think when I came back to the room and finally got in the bed, it was just like, man, from where I came from, little old small town boy, and I came to North Carolina and won a championship and won Point Guard of the Year in college basketball, you know, being an All-American in basketball, just, man, it was just like, it was just so real. It was just like, man, am I in my dream right now? Am I going to wake up and be in my bed and ladder in my house and I dreamed all this? Oh, this is really real. Well, we woke up the next day and we, you know, got on the bus and got on the plane, came back to Carolina and all those fans was there and everybody was in the Smith Center. It was just so crazy, man. And we got that question. Are y'all going to come back? That's when it hit me that, oh man, I might could go to the NBA. It never crossed my mind the whole time because I was so caught up into that moment. But once they said that, I kind of threw it off on Sean and Marv. I was like, well, if these guys come back, I'll come back for another year for my senior year. You know what I'm saying? Because they asked me that question and I threw it off on them. So once we had the conversations, maybe like a few days later, we had a conversation with Coach Williams and, you know, he basically told us what he told us and told us where we would go in the draft. And we just like, hey, listen, we did all this together. You know, me and Sean, Rashad, we all came in together, you know, and Marv was in the equation too. And Marv, we was just like, man, look, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this together. We're going to have our press conference together. We're going to do everything together. Let's just keep it all the same. And, you know, that was just a beautiful thing, man, to have my parents come up and then, you know, have the press conference and tell them that, you know, I'm going to enter my name into the NBA draft. And I don't know, Shaman, man, just that whole story, man, is just amazing, man. I got nothing but love for Carolina basketball to the day I die. You know, it's Carolina Blues in my blood, man, for life. Just the opportunity and the situation of being able to change my life and change my family's life is just tremendous, man. And I can't help but give to that school and just to those people who helped me throughout my career in basketball. Everybody played a vital point in my life, you know, going throughout my career, man. I thank everybody, including yourself.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Well, now you had done something that many don't have an opportunity to do. You won Coach Williams' first NCAA championship.
Right.
And now you had to make this decision to go on to the NBA.
Right.
How was the process for you and how were you feeling? You know, last night was the NBA draft.
Right.
We had Cole Anthony drafted last night, mm-hmm. you know, from the University of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Happy for him. But how was it going for you? Because that team there, if I'm not mistaken, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 4 guys in the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So that shows the talent on that team. Mm-hmm. That shows how special that team was. Mm-hmm. So how was it, Raymond, getting ready for the NBA draft for you?
It was another challenge. You know what I'm saying? Like my first workout was in Chicago with Tim Grover. You know what I'm saying? And he took me through a workout for about an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, I think, maybe 2 hours, I can't remember. And my nose started bleeding. Like my nose was just dripping. And I wouldn't stop. And he was just like, man, what's wrong with this kid? This kid is this hungry? I said, man, he said, man, this kid don't even have to really go through that many workouts. He's gonna be a lottery pick. And I'm like,
right.
that ain't how I'm built. That ain't how that ain't how I'm cut. Like, I'm not gonna give up on nothing. You're not gonna tell somebody you got the best of me. It's not gonna happen. So I'm still trying to work out, and I'm dripping in blood. And he like, man, you gotta stop. I'm like, no, I'm not stopping. Like, it's not gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he finally got me to stop so I can stop my nose from bleeding. But as soon as I stopped it, I plugged it up. I said, let's go. What are we doing? Like, and he was just like, man, I'll see you tomorrow. Like, you know, that's just who I am, man. And I think just going through that whole process of the draft, of just training, you know, training in a different way and preparing my body for that type of contact, those type of, those that type of level of basketball, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to lift a little bit more weights. I had to condition myself a whole lot differently, which I was already in shape. I don't think you're going to get in more shape than you are in college basketball.
No question. You
know, I was already in tip-top shape anyway. But, just to continue that level of energy and stamina that I already had, it was big. But that whole process was good, man. I got a chance to meet a lot of people, get a chance to go to a lot of different teams and cities and just – you know, talk with executives and, you know, work out for them and just, you know, sit down with them for them to get a chance to know who I am as a person. You know, that whole experience was it was beautiful, man. I enjoyed every moment of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can tell you, you've had an outstanding NBA career for sure.
No, I appreciate it.
You had a career that only most could wish for, like you said before, especially from where you come from.
Right.
You know, and so the one thing that I would like to ask you is, when it's all over for you, when you decide to walk away from the game from the playing perspective,
right?
I mean, you're going to still play. I mean, because that's just what we do. I mean,
exactly.
I was just thinking about, what was it, about 2 years ago when we were all in Chapel Hill when they were on the floor for Coach Williams. We got to play together and we ran the gym the whole day against all of those kids.
Yep.
Hey, man, you can't do nothing with these South Carolina guards now. We're going to punish you.
Nothing.
But when you do decide to walk away from the game, when you do, maybe another 5 years or something, what do you want to do and what would you like to be known for?
Known for. I want everybody to know when they speak about Raymond Felton name when it comes to anything, basketball, life, whatever it is. Like, he's just a guy that's well. He's respectable. He's a go getter. You know what I'm saying? He goes hard. He's straight to the point. Like, he ain't no stab in the back type of person. He gonna tell you what it is to your face. And like, just, you know, all around great teammate, you know, he gonna be there for you on the court, gonna be there for you off the court. Like, that's what I want to be known for. Just a great teammate, great player, you know, a type of guy that you want to go to war with. You know what I'm saying? I love it when I hear coaches say that. Like, there's a lot of point guards that are talented, a lot of good point guards out there, but if I'm gonna go to war with somebody, I'm gonna go with Raymond Felton. And like,
that's right.
When I hear a coach say that, you know, saying that means a lot to me, because that just shows that just because I don't average 25, 30 points in a game, but they still see my value of what I bring to the game, because I try to do everything, you know, and I'm going to bring it every night, you know what I'm saying? So just to hear that, man, was a lot to me. But just, if I want to be known for something, I want to be known for that right there. But what's next for me? I hear a lot of people say, man, you can coach, you could be a good coach and do all this and do all that. I don't know. Right now, I don't know if I want to give that much time back to the game, but I do know I want to give back to the game. So I even thought about doing my own academy, doing like an academy and training kids and, you know, giving back to kids, doing basketball camps and, you know, even traveling the world and doing stuff, you know what I'm saying, like speaking to kids and, you know, going to talk to, you know, basketball teams and organizations or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of giving that knowledge and giving my story back to the youth and just sharing that to the world. I do want to give back to the game. I just don't know if I want to put that much time in as a coach. I don't know if I want to do that yet. I don't know. We'll see though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great thing. And I think you do have a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And you have a wealth of experience that'll be very beneficial to a lot of organizations, a lot of kids as well, mm-hmm. Especially from my environment. I think now in the state of South Carolina, I think people are beginning to see that mm-hmm. we do have some talent. Mm-hmm. The talent is being cultivated, and you know, we've had a good group to come through, and the institution has led the charge. It really, in the state of South Carolina, has been the University of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. myself, yourself, Bryce. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. You know, a lot of kids aspire to go to University of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now taking this thing back to the University of North Carolina, Raymond, what is one thing or one memory that you will always hold in high regard from your time at the university?
I think, man, really just those relationships, you know, just those relationships, man, you know, meeting everybody, like just everybody. And I ain't just talking about like you and, you know, like Stack and Vince and Sheed and MJ and like just everybody, man. Like I've met some of the biggest legends of the game, man. Like some of the guys that was playing when I wasn't even thought of. You know, just the blessing of meeting those type of people, man, just that blessing, you know, being, you know, meeting Coach Smith before he passed away and leaving us, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people don't cherish certain things. I cherish those type of things, man. I cherish meeting legends and meet people who's changed the course of the game of basketball. I cherish that to the fullest. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't talk about Phil Ford, but I had a great relationship with Phil Ford. That's one of not the best point guard to play at Carolina basketball. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, just to have those relationships, man, with everybody that I've met, man, like the people from the school, the professors and stuff like that, the tutors we had. Like, just those relationships, man, are the things that I take away from Carolina basketball that I would cherish, I think, for the rest of my life, just the relationships. Relationships.
Awesome. Well, bro, man, I'm proud of you. I mean, sure. whether you won a national championship or, you know, your great NBA career, you know, I was extremely happy, you know, the day you chose to come to Carolina, because it, for me, you know, being, you know, from South Carolina, you know, to have someone of your magnitude and what I felt like you could be for the institution, man, it was just, it was like, you know, like, hey man, we arrived, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? 'Cause, you know, like I said, who you were as a person, but what you stood for was extremely important to me. You, mm-hmm. you know who I am. You know what I mean? Like right. you said, I'm gonna shoot it straight. I'm gonna be hard on you guys, but mm-hmm. it's because I care and right. I love you. Right. And so, you know, I didn't. You know, for you, it was like it's like I never had to tell you to do anything twice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and at that time, you know, I'm younger, but when you kind of look at it, it's kind of like saying the person has respect for what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That they just, you know, they place whatever you saying in there, you know, on them because they trust you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. for me, that meant something. You know what I mean? That meant mm-hmm. something. And it was I love all you guys, but it, for me, with you, it was personal. You know what I mean? Because right. you were from South Carolina.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And like mm-hmm. had to carry the torch in. And so I, you know, just remember, like, man, I never had to tell him anything twice. Mm-hmm. And Lord, did you did more than carry the torch. you set it on fire, man. And I'm just thankful for the man you become. Yeah, I appreciate your representation of your family, mm-hmm. yourself, the institution, and. You know, I'm gonna tell you this, like I would tell all you, you do have a responsibility.
Yeah.
You got a responsibility to the next group of guys to do the same thing that, you know, I was afforded to do to you and do for you. And you've done that. You know, you've done that. But, you know, hey, man, we got to keep the press on.
Yeah, you know, we do.
When we stop is when they put us in the ground.
Exactly.
And so, you know, man, I love you.
Love you too, bro.
I appreciate you participating in the podcast.
Anytime.
And we're going to have you again, but it's going to be in a different platform. We're going to have you again, but it's going to be in a different platform. So,
well, let me know. I'm there.
Yeah, tell the family I said hello.
I will.
And and ladies and gentlemen, this is the 2005 Bob Cousy Player of the Year, 2005 NCAA champion, Raymond Felton.